This is the Tom Likas Show.
Drug dealing, hookers, and loud music.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No shit, it's retarded.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24/7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear us on our brand new free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me at a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us in studio is family law attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you.
Hey, Tom. What's up?
Not much. What's going on?
You know, one of my favorites was George Carlin. He had this line that he said that women that were against abortion are women that you wouldn't want to screw anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there really is this funny cross, Tom, where you see these women. I got to tell you, I saw this just the past few days. There's a particular room where all the people that are getting restraining orders are.
Yeah.
And I was helping someone get a restraining order. And you see these hideous, hideous women, gigantic, seriously, cows. And they're saying, oh, he's obsessed with me. I have to get him to leave me alone. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was thinking of the really nasty-looking woman in the office who says how the boss was harassing her, you know, and how he's obsessed with her.
Yeah.
You have to take that all quite seriously. But, you know, I had something interesting I wanted to talk about tonight. We've been, going over various cases, and obviously family law cases, and this evening every 2 weeks. And I always have these, you know, weird stories and dramatic stories and these twists and turns. And I know that's really interesting for the audience, and I know it's really important that people hear these things. But, you know, there are also a lot of cases that are pretty routine, and that's something that I think people should know about. And I have a guest tonight. If you end up getting him on, hopefully Dino will get him.
No, we got him.
And good. And he's actually got a couple of different things that we want to talk about. But what's interesting about his case, he's from a different part of California, in the north, and he has a pretty routine divorce, and I took care of it for him, and I didn't charge him too much, and it was very, very straightforward. And what I think he can talk about, which was interesting for him, I think, because he had done I think he was married once before in the past, and he tried to divorce himself the first time. But what we did was very, very straightforward, very painless. And basically, he and I communicated through email, and it was essentially remote control. And I think that's something that people should know. I mean, most people do not have the big knockdown, dropout, celebrity divorce where everyone's, you know, fighting over every single little thing. And it is possible to do it with relatively little pain. So let's get him on. What's his name?
He's calling himself Nick.
All right.
Nick!
Hey.
Here we are.
Hey, hi. Hey, how's it going, Tom? Hey, how you doing, Adam?
That's the real Tom Likas on the line there, Nick.
Absolutely. You know, it's a pleasure to be speaking with the professor. You know, I've been a loyal fan since the KKKFI days and found you on 97.1. And I was actually listening to one of the first Likas 101 shows on 97.1. So
nice.
It's been around a long time.
Love it.
So I was talking about what we did, and Nick, I thought it was really interesting, and it was different, you know. I come on and I talk about these crazy stories where, you know, the two sides are killing each other. But your divorce, right? We never went to court, right?
Absolutely. Never went to court. It was very, very cut and dry, as you alluded to earlier. My first divorce was, you know, done by one of those legal zip things that you see advertised on television. And that was, it is what it is. It was a nightmare. It was a pain in the ass. I had to end up taking time off of work, going back down to court, redoing papers. And if anyone who lives in L.A. knows the court system on Hill Street, it's a pain in the ass.
Right.
So this go-around, I'm glad I actually hired a professional. So now what makes my case so smooth, what made it so smooth, was that, first of all, my ex and I, we didn't have a whole lot of moving parts to begin with. So we were married less than 5 years. We had no property together, no assets, we had a joint account that I never used. We had no debts. And probably the biggest thing is we had no kids together. We have no kids together.
Right.
I mean, she has, I married a single mother, so she has three kids.
All right,
hold on. Grown.
We heard that part, Tom.
I hear that.
So that was tough, Nick. That was a tough break, but okay.
It was a tough break. That in and of itself brings its own challenges. But her kids were grown, so that wasn't an issue. And I have a child from a previous relationship who was
okay.
A teenager. So it was really, really straightforward. So, the day that I called you, Adam, I don't know that I shared this with you, but my ex and I, that we worked in the same office building.
Oh, man.
That particular morning, she woke up with her knickers in a twist and in a whole tizwaz about God knows what. And it was, the argument was just escalating and escalating and escalating. So, and I'm driving to work and I'm thinking to myself, oh God, I hope we don't have traffic. Well, lo and behold, we had all this traffic. Meanwhile, I had one of my earbuds in, and I was tuned in to the previous day's show, which was like Money Monday or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So all the way to work, I kept hearing Adam's commercials. It's time to man up. Time to man up. 800-347-3320, and that kept playing over in my head. And as we got to work, the arguments just it just escalated. I walked into work. I sit my stuff down in my cube. I fired up my computer. I started looking for places to live because at that time, obviously, we were still living together. And
right.
I knew that I needed to be out of that. So I secured a couple of appointments to look at apartments. And then I said, okay, you know what, Nick? It's time to man up. So I found an empty conference room, and I gave Adam a call.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah. So, what I will say is, I mean, I hear people, bashing Adam and, talking shit about Adam and everything. But,
really?
But, the first 5 or 10 minutes of our conversation, Adam kicked me in the nuts. He did. He beat me up really bad.
No,
that's okay. Because in retrospect, what you told me in the first 5 or 10 minutes of our conversation is what I needed to hear to get me off the fence and to drop the ambivalence and, make it happen.
Okay.
So after that, after those 10 minutes, then we got down to business. We started talking about business. Adam explained to me what the process is in the state of California, what I can expect from him as my lawyer, and what he expects from me, in that, I expect you to pay me. I expect you to, when I send you forms, I expect you to sign them and get them back to me, really quickly.
All right. Well, it's teamwork. People misunderstand sometimes. They think that they just, pay me and I do the whole thing. I mean, we have to work together, of course.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. So our entire transaction, everything from start to finish, was all done electronically, all via email. Adam sent me the original retainer forms. I signed them. I didn't balk. I gave him my credit card and say, hey, man, you know what? Ambivalence is gone. Let's do this. It's time to man up. So we did that, and there were several exchanges with different court forms, and even the court filing and all that stuff was done all electronically and online. I'm in Sacramento. I'm from L.A. I'm in Sacramento right now, and I know Adam is in Southern California. So the fellas out there who are listening, don't be discouraged, by thinking, well, Adam is only in L.A. and he can only handle cases in L.A. No, that's not the case. If the court that in your city has that electronic system, then he can definitely represent you in your case.
Well, yeah, I do cases all over the place, no sweat.
Yes, absolutely. So the date we filed was, and this is what really, really blew me away, and this is what I really want to emphasize. My case was filed on June 20th of this year. I got my final dissolution from the judge, signed, stamped, Sacramento County Court on September 18th. That's 2 months and 28 days. How fucking fast is that?
Right. Not bad.
Wow, you're a free man now.
Well, thank God for that.
I am a free man. Absolutely. And so, you know, California has these weird-ass laws, as only California has. So, you know, the judge obviously postdated it and said, okay, well, you know, you're not eligible to remarry until December 20th. But who gives a shit about that? I'm not going to get married again anyway. So,
all right. All right. Well, that's smart. Okay.
Yeah, so it was an absolute breeze, you know, and I will tell anyone who will listen that, you know, it pays to hire a professional. You know, if your stomach is hurting, you're not going to go in your stomach with a knife and say, oh, hey, let me see what's going on in here. No, you're going to take your ass to the doctor and you're going to let a professional do it. Likewise with divorce, you know, hire a professional. All of the stress and angst that I may have had doing it on my own, all that went out of the window hiring a professional.
Well, in your case especially, you know, what people fight about, generally what prolongs divorce is a fight about money or a fight about children, like custody, or God forbid both, which is typical.
Right, and I was extremely fortunate that, you know, my ex is older than I, and she wasn't planning on having any insight. She, you know, had a hysterectomy, so she's not having any more kids anyway.
So her kids were grown up from another guy. Your kid was from someone else as well.
Right, and then, we didn't.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. And we did not fight about money. I mean, I know she has her 401k. I wasn't interested in that. You know, big deal. I have my own money. I have an IRA. It's a six figure IRA. And she did not know that I had that, and I kept that very, very quiet.
I see.
Really?
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Listening to the professor.
There we go.
You know, you start investing in, you know, stuff like Tesla and Vanguard and Royce funds and all that other stuff. So,
nice.
So money was not something that we argued. And, you know, deep down, I think she probably wanted out of the relationship just as much as I did. But neither one of us initially wanted to be the first ones to flinch. It just so happens that I, you know, grabbed my balls and manned up and said, you know what, fuck it, I'm out.
Wow. That is really, really interesting. And in that context, right, you and I communicated primarily by email. I mean, it's great to talk to you and everything, but I've never met you face-to-face. That's amazing, but true. And I submitted everything. As you say, some of it was electronic, but some of it was not, by the way. Some of it was old school.
Right.
But I dealt with the court in Sacramento. It was, you know, no different than I would deal with any other court. And we did it correctly, which is, again, based on my experience, which a lot of people, you know, trying to do it themselves, end up submitting it and getting it rejected and back and forth several times. But since I did it right the first time and I got it in there right away, as you say, from, you know, June until September is only a few months. And the basic California thing is it's supposed to be 6 months. So that's why you're not supposed to remarry. But as we agreed, you're not dying to
right.
do that anyway. So the whole thing is all signed, sealed, and delivered. And, you know, I think what I try to do, and certainly, as I said, you got to work with me, but what I try to do is I try to make it seem, you know, relatively automatic. Like it's just sort of, you know, in the background, behind the scenes, something, you know, I'm not like pestering you and you're not pestering me. And this is a lot of times when I do an expungement where people ask me to, you know, to erase their criminal record. They pay me. I start working on it. And then they don't know what happened because they don't hear from me for 2 or 3 months. And then I just send them, you know, like the certificate that it's all done. And a lot of people are like, that's it? You know, like I don't have to go to court. What happened? You know? And that's the same kind of thing. Yeah, we'd had a case a couple of weeks ago where I did a DUI and I actually got it dismissed. And the guy had never even gone to court, you know, so it was like, you know, he kind of, you know, was in disbelief. I called him. I said, forget about it. It's all taken care of. And he's like, what? You know, that's it. You know, like he wanted something else to happen, you know. But yours was signed, sealed, and delivered, and you're a free man. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other benefit of hiring a professional, in this case, hiring a lawyer to handle your divorce is I had an instance with my ex where, you know, we were sharing an apartment together, and I wanted my name off the lease. She wanted my name off the lease. So one day after work, we're coming out of the building, and she shoves this piece of paper in my face and says, here, I typed this up. You need to sign this so I can take this to the office and get your name off the lease. Well, I read it, and immediately I said, you know, this is all bullshit. Everything you're saying in here is a lie. I'm not signing that. So what did I do? I forwarded it to Adam. I had Adam look it over, and he said, okay, well, you want your name off the lease, right? The answer, of course, is yes. He said, okay, is everything in this document true? I said, no, it's all a lie. And Adam said, okay, well, rewrite it and then submit it in your words and make sure everything is factual. And that's what I did. So that's the other benefit of hiring a lawyer. Have someone who can review those documents. And another thing, you know, I had another incident that I didn't tell you about, Adam,
I don't think that's the only thing either. A lot of things you didn't tell them about.
Yeah, I mean, well, the truth about the case little by little here. What are you up to, man?
Nothing happened. Nothing became of this. But she approached me it was a couple of weeks ago, and now that my name is removed off the lease, it's just, you know, a single income. So the apartment management company wants her to, you know, reapply, redo the whole credit thing. Well, it sounds to me like she may or may not qualify for the unit that we were in. So she said, well, I'm going to need you to sign something saying that you give me X amount of money every month, vagina money. And I told her to go get fucked. I'm not signing that. You must be out of your ever-loving mind. Not going to happen.
Right. I get it. Okay. Well, anyway.
That's my story. It was extremely smooth. I had no hiccups. I didn't have to miss not one day of work. Adam didn't have to get on a plane and come up here to Sacramento.
I didn't fly to Sacramento.
Yeah. absolutely. It was probably as smooth can get. I would say that if I had to do it again, I'd call Adam, but I won't be doing this again. So I guess that
all right.
That's
that gets
point.
The applause too.
Right. Exactly.
All right, Nick. Thanks very much. I really appreciate what
that's
you have to say.
Great outcome. Love that. Thank you for that, Nick. All right, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you about a story. You may or may not have seen it. I posted it.
I say.
And this was sent by a listener, and it is truly remarkable. This is a story that is truly remarkable. It involves family law, and it will knock you out. If you haven't seen this story, Adam, it's going to blow you away.
Okay.
A listener sent this in. It is going to blow you away. It's going to make you very angry. And we'll find out what you think about this case when we continue here. Our number, if you'd like to ask your questions, Adam's here to answer your legal questions about family law. So if you're getting divorced, if you're separated, if you got kids, you're worried about custody, child support, maybe you're stupidly thinking about getting married and you want to know about a prenuptial agreement or a postnuptial agreement, maybe you've just gotten married and you didn't have the balls to bring it up in the first place. Maybe you got a restraining order. Nice. Just call us here right now for your free legal advice from Adam. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. Let's go. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. If you have legal questions for Adam Sachs. 901-3000-866. All right, I'm going to read this story to you from a newspaper called the Santa Barbara Independent. It's an alternative weekly. It's like LA Weekly or OC Weekly. And because I live a part of the time in Santa Barbara County, I see the Independent all the time. And this story is truly remarkable. It's posted on our website at blowmeuptom.com if you'd like to see it, but I'll read it to you. And here it is. A Santa Barbara woman sentenced to prison for engaging in a long-term sexual relationship, get this, with her son's 13-year-old friend.
Unbelievable.
You understand this? This woman is married, and she's having sex with her son's 13-year-old friend.
And she was in her late 40s.
Yeah. Well, we haven't gotten to that part yet. We're going to let the story unfold as I read it. It's part of the art of storytelling. We don't jump ahead and say, the end. All right.
So, everything I know I learned from you, Dad.
We're learning bit by bit how to do a radio show here. And one thing you do is, in order to keep people...
engaged.
Well, why sit around listening for 10 minutes if I can tell the payoff in 30 seconds? So you have to remember, Adam, we don't jump ahead in the story. We let the story unfold.
I got you.
I mean, anybody could go to the website, look up the story, and then know what I'm about to say, and then just spit it out. But the idea is that people are going to want to hear the story told by a professional storyteller.
You're with you all the way, Tom.
Thank you. All right, so this woman sent to prison because she was having sex with her son's 13-year-old friend. She's now suing her ex-husband for spousal support. Her name is Janice Hsu, spelled S-C-H-U. Who has now reverted to her maiden name, Janice Gomez, sentenced to 6 years in prison in April 2010. That's it, by the way. You're a rapist. You are a convicted...
a pedophile.
You are a convicted rapist, and the kid is 13, and your son's friend, and you're sentenced to 6 whole years in prison. Now, you know, if Janice Hsu had a 13-year-old daughter, and I decided to go bop her... you think I'd be out in 6 years?
See you later, Tom.
Forget it. Get this also. There's so many things about the story that offend me. It's beyond belief. So get this. She was sentenced to 6 years, but she was released in 3 years, in April 2013.
Of course.
And now she lives in Goleta. Goleta is north and west of the city of Santa Barbara. People think there's nothing west of Santa Barbara, but in reality, like Malibu, Santa Barbara faces south. So there's stuff west of Santa Barbara, and that includes Isla Vista and Goleta. So she lives in Goleta. So now, as part of her plea agreement, get this. Now, if I did her daughter, I'd be on the... If I ever got out of prison, I'd be on the sex offender list for the rest of my life and probably into the afterlife. But as part of her plea agreement, she must register as a sex offender only until April 2016.
Wow, that's only fair.
That's it. That's for fucking her son's 13-year-old friend. That's what you get. So imagine if she was really a child molester. All right. So here's the deal. So of course, out of prison now divorced, and she doesn't have to register as a sex offender anymore. She got another 6 or 7 months. And then she's done registering as a sex offender. So now that she's out of prison, and now that she's coming off the sex offender registry, she is now seeking from her ex-husband $7,900 a month in spousal support. Now, $7,900, I'll do the math for you, okay? $7,900 is about $95,000 a year. $95,000 a year. We have listeners who do not make $95,000 a year. She wants $95,000 a year in spousal support, according to court documents. And here are her average monthly expenses, according to the filings. $3,000 for rent. Okay, $550 for eating out. Who's she eating out? Her son's friends? $600 for clothes. This is $600 a month for clothing.
Well,
and
she's got to look good, Tom.
I don't think, it doesn't matter what she's wearing. Take a look at that mugshot. And $1,000 for miscellaneous items, whatever those are. Okay, now listen to the poor schmuck who married this woman, okay? This is just an amazing story. Gomez's ex-husband filed for divorce immediately after her sentencing. And, all right, so as she's heading into prison, she receives nearly $1 million in assets as part of the settlement. Okay.
Very nice.
So she's got $1 million of cold, hard cash probably sitting in the bank.
Right.
She couldn't do much while she was in prison.
Well, you know, keep it invested.
Her ex-husband, clearly, like, rattled by this whole experience, he left the area. He didn't even live in Santa Barbara anymore. and now he's challenging her alimony demands. That trial is scheduled to begin right. It's beginning this week. It says here, the story is so offensive. As Gomez's criminal case worked its way through court 5 years ago, the details of her offenses shocked and disturbed the Santa Barbara community. She admitted to sleeping with the 13-year-old victim, at least they called him a victim, for 7 years. 7 fucking years!
So think about how many times they had sex with each one as a separate offense, right?
Unbelievable! And what did she get? She got 3 years in prison for that.
A slap on the wrist.
7 years of fucking a 13-year-old was no longer a 13-year-old. I mean, was he a 20-year-old, or did they start when he was six? I don't even know. Said their relationship began when the victim would spend nights at their home.
Right.
The victim and her son, your son, you're supposed to love your son. You're not supposed to hurt your son. The victim and her son were classmates and close friends and played water polo together. Gomez, who was 48 at the time and has 3 children, would show the victim pornography and buy him and his friends alcohol,
that's
prosecutor
called
said.
Plying him with alcohol.
Right. She would then get this. All right, so he would say, if we can't stop, I'm going to tell. So she says that she would expose the relationship.
Nice.
Which, that's amazing reverse psychology.
Blackmail.
Yeah. I'm going to tell your mother that I'm fucking you. if you tell, I'm going to let everybody know. When the victim would attempt to end it. And it says here, often controlling and manipulative. She also gained access to his email, his Facebook, and his cell phone.
So he was like her slave.
Right. Her sex slave. Bakersfield attorney Ralph Weggis is representing Gomez's ex. He moved to fucking Bakersfield to get away. And you go from fucking Santa Barbara to Bakersfield. That's not exactly around the corner. It's like, I want to go where nobody knows me and the kids. Nobody. Probably hanging out now with Schwarzenegger's son and his illegitimate son and whatever went on there. Okay, so in rebuttal to her demands, Weggis, the attorney, claimed Gomez was abusive toward her husband and their children during their marriage. Yeah, and how did this get found out? The daughter discovered the illicit affair before authorities did. As a result, they say she developed severe emotional distress and resorted to self-harming.
Oh, sweet.
Weggis stated. So there's your daughter, probably there with a razor blade cutting herself,
yeah,
or something,
nice.
Dropping candle wax in there.
Hey.
Whatever. Weggis stated, since Gomez's crimes became public, all of the family members have endured significant pain and humiliation. I certainly believe that. Okay, I do.
Yeah.
Says here, based on Gomez's behavior during her marriage, her admitted felonies of child abuse and molestation, and the significant amount of money she received during her divorce settlement, Gomez should be denied any additional money, Weggis argued. Of Gomez's criminal case, Weggis says he is surprised that she will remain on the state sex offender registry for just 6 more months. She's hardwired to be a pedophile, he asserted. She's going to be restored to the complete freedom to pursue what was so important to her before. Now, Adam.
Tom.
You got.
Do you really want to be a man in this society?
Well, this is what happens when you get married, guys. I'm just telling you. Not everybody, but this is the kind of scenario you could enter. All right, so she gets $1 million in the divorce settlement on the way into prison for being a child molester, for molesting her 13-year-old son's 13-year-old friend, okay? Then she comes out and she wants almost $8,000 a month in child support. A, is that true that going to prison would not affect your ability to get in community property $1 million? And then B, all right, now you've been in prison and you're on the sex offender registry and you've harmed your entire family. How do you, beyond having the gall to go to court and file that, what are the odds that she'll actually get that?
You know, there have been cases where guys, like, defrauded their companies and they were still able to get their pension. And so, believe it or not, I mean, you've talked about this, where in our society, you come home, your wife is fucking your best friend, like, right on the couch in the living room, and, you know, he serves you with papers, and it's like, you know, you're getting divorced. You have no-fault divorce. The reality is that, you know, she deserves, according to the law, half of the marital assets. So that was her $1 million settlement. And then she deserves whatever is coming to her in terms of if she didn't work, spousal support, alimony, and everything else. And, you know, you look at these outcomes and you say, how can this be? And this is one of the things that I tell guys. I have guys now writing gigantic checks to women that refuse to work, that are completely screwed up and lazy and stupid, are doing animal rescue as a career. And the reality is that this is the kind of thing that our society allows. And it's sick.
Even though this is a convicted rapist.
Well, first of all, if you look at the criminal side, leaving the family law side, you're absolutely, absolutely right. And that this was the son's friend. But we have seen instance after instance where you have this teacher, that's the scary one, who's usually like in her late 20s, and she gets involved with an underage boy. And, you know, somehow it's, you know, people go, ah, wink, wink, you know. She gets 6 months probation because he was so lucky to get molested
right.
by his teacher.
But, all right, even though that's outrageous.
But if you turn it the other way, Tom, if it was the male teacher with the young girl, oh, forget it.
But, all right, but let's accept that there's a double standard. But it isn't just that the kid got lucky. There was a boy, the son of this rapist, who was affected by this too. And apparently even that doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, you see how the ripples of these things happen. But in the circumstances where, in this case, again, if you were the father, and we've seen this too, right? The father who screws the babysitter for the kids, who's like 14 years old girl, whatever, he gets the book thrown at him. Here, she did this thing, and it's not even clear. It seems like it went on for many years. She was looking at his email and Facebook and monitoring his phone calls and, like, very demanding and controlling. And she's obviously cheating on her husband, screwing over her child, who was the friend of the boy she molested. And she's only going to be a sex offender for 6 more months. I mean, you know, they could take her off the list or whatever. And everyone's like, oh, you know, we have to have an understanding and we have to be merciful. And we can't get so... I mean, it's like there's this whole world running out to help her. And you see how she ended up hurting her family. She got a divorce. Her daughter is engaging in cutting behavior and so forth. I mean, she screwed everyone up. And the whole kind of concept is sympathetic to her. And then she has the nerve, I mean, the chutzpah, to come into court, aside from her $1 million settlement, to say that she wants another almost $8,000 in alimony. And you see, this is the modern woman today, with the entitlement attitude, with a chip on her shoulder. And she, I mean, I've seen them myself. They come into court with their head held up high. And the judge says, you seem able to take care of yourself. You know, what do you need alimony for? And the woman, who's independent and equal and a free person, proudly says, Your Honor, I'm unable to work, and I'm unable to get a job, and I'm permanently unemployed, and I need and expect my ex-husband to support me for the rest of my life. And I would be embarrassed to say something like that. And here she is, wearing her best clothes, saying it under oath to the judge, and she feels no shame and nothing because she feels a total sense of entitlement. And society is telling her that that man used your vagina for a long, long time, and now he has to pay. And she's willing to do that. And I'd say to her, doesn't that make you a prostitute?
I don't know why we should have to depend on what she wants or what she's embarrassed about doing. I think that, frankly, it's like these... By the way, there's a case that's in a similar vein, and that is a woman is raped and decides after a lot of agonizing thought that she's going to go ahead and have the baby that occurred when she was knocked up by being raped. And then later on, the rapist, when he's out of prison, he demands custody or he demands
visitation of it. Yes.
How is there not a law that says no?
It's, you know, that's
you're
a twisted,
rapist.
That's his kid, right?
No, but that's not the point. I mean, you know, if you were married to somebody and you were molesting their children, you would have a hard time getting visitation. But the rapist can go to court, make this woman testify in family court. How can that be? And why don't we make laws against that?
I think that you're pulling out examples that show how the law doesn't always make sense. There are so many different aspects of things where basically the law does not know what to do.
What do you think? And again, we won't know till the case is over, and you don't know all the facts of the case, just what's in here. What do you think the odds are of this woman getting $7,900 a month?
I think personally she may not get the whole amount, but she's going to get something. And you know it's based on a formula and a calculation.
But you know, they wouldn't have gotten a divorce if she wasn't raping her son's 13-year-old friend.
I understand. The argument would be, and it's hard for me to argue for her, Tom, but the argument would be that she's gone to prison, obviously for a very short time, so she's paid her debt to society, and she's been a registered sex offender, again for a very short time, but whatever's hers is still hers. So she gets to keep her $1 million in her settlement, and now she wants spousal support.
Well, you know, we do penalize people for doing things. For example, if you murder somebody, you can't vote.
That's true.
All right.
If you're a convicted felon, no voting for you.
Right. All right. But so raping is someone is also a felony, last I looked. But yet you can rape your son's 13-year-old friend, and then you can come back and say, "Hey, now I want my money."
It's unbelievable.
I mean, how much has the husband spent on therapy for the family? How much he had to move to Bakersfield? And now, on top of that, she comes. It's like the people who get raped all over again by the rapist. And this is a rapist we're talking about here.
Yeah. It's a society that we have that doesn't see it that way. We still look through the prism of women being flowers, sugar and spice and everything nice. And we don't see, and there's a lot of studies that have been coming out that show that women are just as sexually desirous as men. And we play that game with a double standard where the guy is grabbing and the woman is saying no, no, no. So when you hear the story how this woman basically was a predator on this 13-year-old boy, there's something that doesn't allow it to register. And she should have gone to jail for 15 or 25 years or whatever. Instead, she gets sentenced to 6 and she's out in 3. And everyone says, oh, the poor thing, you know, she suffered enough. And then you see she comes into court with her head up high and says, I want what's coming to me, $8,000 a month or whatever. And there's a computer program that calculates the amount. And, you know, she's going to get something significant, obviously. And, you know, if you look at the real victim, aside from her children, is her ex-husband. And he may have been a very good guy, and he thought he's in love, and he thought he has a good marriage. And one day he comes home and finds this out. I talked to so many guys who really believed that they were the exception to the rule. They had the special girl, right, Tom, the special love?
Right.
And they thought they were doing great. And they come home, and the woman says, I'm not happy. I want a divorce. And the guy can't even believe it. And then he finds out the backstory, which is that she's been cheating all this time and all this nonsense going on,
right.
Hopefully not as extreme as this. But then you think as a guy, okay, this is a nightmare. Let me walk away from this. The law does not let you walk away. This woman is going to have her hand in your pocket for the rest of your life if you've been married for more than 10 years. And so this is something that people just absolutely don't prepare for. And this is one of the reasons when we talk about it in the long range, aside from trying to fix it now with me as your lawyer, I would avoid it in the first place.
Now, we have a listener who tweeted. He said, I hope the ex-husband calls Adam Sachs. Now, you're not representing the ex-husband, and you don't know all the facts of the case. But theoretically, if the ex-husband were listening and decided he wanted to switch it up and wanted to hire you.
Happy to help him.
What would you do? Like, all right, you're stepping into that courtroom. What's the first thing you would do here?
There is some conceptualization in law about equity, okay? One of the classic cases is, and this has happened many times also, like in the Bible and in history. Tom, you write a will, and you're my uncle or whatever, and you put me in your will. And I know you tell me that, you know, when I die, you know, nephew, you're going to get my house or my property. And I'm really excited about it, and I really want the stuff, and so I kill you. In other words, I kill you in order to inherit, you know, what's in the will. Well, legally speaking, when you're dead at that point, whether I go to prison or whatever, technically I should get, you know, what the will says. And then you wrote in the will, I leave my nephew Adam my house. Well, the courts have ruled that that's not going to happen. Okay? And that's because of equity. You say, listen, it's not just the law. The law is not an ass. It's not going to give the wrongdoer the proceeds as an heir of the will to someone who killed the person who died. That makes no sense. And so in a case like this, you would hope that the judge looks at it and says, you know, I got the calculation here. And I know you're getting divorced, and I understand that you have a long-term marriage, and you want, you know, $7,900 a month. And the computer, which is this, like, calculation, they call it the Disomaster, and there's a couple of different versions of it. They use a different version of Bakersfield. But the point is, the computer is saying $7,900, but you know what, lady? I'm not going to give it to you. I'm sorry. I'm reading what you did. And I'm looking at your criminal file here, and you've destroyed your family. You had sex with your son's friend for years and years. You're a freaking sick person. You're a pedophile. You're a registered sex offender. I'm not giving you the big alimony. You can kiss my ass, okay? And you would hope that the judge would put some of that rationality and equity into the decision. But I got to tell you something, Tom. I think if the judge did that, she might be able to appeal, you know, saying she didn't get what was coming to her, and I think she might win.
Really?
Yes. And I think we talked about this, you know, the guy from Two and a Half Men, the one who was Ducky Cryer.
John Cryer.
That's right. He was in a crazy situation where he had been married to this woman, and she was squeezing him and squeezing him for alimony and child support and more and more and more. And he went through a whole thing with her. She refused to work. She wasn't getting her life together. You know, alimony is supposed to be temporary. The woman is supposed to get it so she gets back on her feet. It's not supposed to be for her to be living off for the rest of her life. And he went through it, and he went to the Court of Appeals. And I'm sorry to say that in the end, he lost. So, you know, as a guy in the court system, a lot of times you're not going to find a whole lot of justice. And, you know, women are doing these crazy sexual things, but one of the things that our society also believes is that men have to pick up the check. And the way that we express that in the court system is somehow or another, when you're getting divorced, as the man, you're paying for her lawyer, as well as yours, of course. You're paying for her fees, her expenses, her moving expenses, her future expenses, her past expenses, plus a settlement, plus alimony, plus child support. And she's sitting there going, oh, I can't work. I have carpal tunnel syndrome. And the judge goes, oh, you poor thing. Let's make the alimony permanent. And so it's just a matter of level of outrage. We're here, this crazy woman was a sex offender and did this whole crazy rape thing. And she's still very likely going to get a substantial amount of money. It seems very, very inequitable, and I don't know that there's necessarily anything much that her husband can really do about it.
Unbelievable story. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll tell you how you can get in touch with Adam, and obviously Adam is here to answer your questions. You know our number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number, 901-3000-TOM. 866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. I'm also on Facebook. And you can send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com. I answer it myself.
All right. There you go. That's how you get in touch with Adam. Let's take a phone call here at 901-3000-TOM. Here comes Thomas in San Diego. Hello.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Hey, Adam, I've got a question for you.
Sure, Thomas. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. I had a female talk to me yesterday about this situation where she said that if a man gets a woman pregnant and by, you know, she says she she says, well, you're going to have it anyways, and she basically lied to him, and now she says she's going to have the baby.
Right.
He can actually, he said that male could actually get out of paying child support if he says, I don't want to have anything to do with it, and signs some kind of document to say that he has no parental rights.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
And I said, I don't know if I buy that because nah. It's not going to allow that.
No, a lot of guys say that. I mean, I've had guys call me and get upset about it because they don't want to have to deal with it and they don't want to have to pay, as it is
right.
216 monthly payments. So guys start
right.
saying to me, no, I'll just renounce it, or I'll deny it, or I'll deny paternity or something.
That's what she said.
It's not going to work. And a lot of girls will say to guys, this is classic, a woman's very full of herself. She says, I'm going to handle it myself. I don't need it. I can take care of my own business. And I won't go after you and blah, blah, blah.
I don't need you.
Yeah. Right. I've heard that too. Yep.
Well, you're kidding yourself. The bottom line is, if you're shooting it out there, you are putting blank checks into her hands. And she's going to have the baby, and she's going to discover that it's expensive and that it's a lot of work and it's a big deal, and she's going
right.
to come after you for child support. By the way, filing the lawsuit against you costs her nothing. She goes
right.
to the district attorney of your county. This is nationally, by the way, all in every state in the United States and Canada. And she can fill out some forms online, by the way. And they do all the filing. They don't charge her anything. They come slamming down on you, garnishing your paycheck, taking away your driver's license, grabbing your assets, your bank accounts, and anything else you have. And it's not going to cost her a cent. And you can sign anything you want. I've had people have notarized letters where she promises she doesn't want support or anything. The only thing, I mean, the only possibility, assuming you have a child, it's not an abortion or a miscarriage or whatever, the only possibility is if the child is adopted by some other guy. So in
okay,
other words,
what...
one second, if for example, she, let's say, dumps you, never talks to you again, she marries
right.
a guy, and he adopts the kid, and you give
that's
up your parental rights.
Right.
That's and by the way, that can be renounced later and ends up being changed. She comes after you for retroactive. You don't want to know about it. So getting girls pregnant is just generally not a very good idea.
Okay. So that clarifies. Because that's what I thought. I said if that child has a father that adopts that baby, then the biological father is off the hook. But... yeah, that could be retroactive at any time.
Well, the bottom line is that it's too big a risk to take, and guys are very careless about this. You know, vasectomy is painless, and then you're never going to have to worry about it the rest of your life. I highly recommend it. And besides that, as Tom always talks about, certainly in terms of protection against diseases, condoms. You know, they show this, and Tom just got back from good old New York City, which has that old toilet bowl smell going on. I remember reading, they were talking about Sex in the City, but something like 60 to 70% of women in New York City have, what is it, Tom? Herpes? Or the sexual disease? What was it?
Something like that.
Some huge percentage.
Yeah, it was 3 out of 5, yeah.
3 out of 5! And you're going in there bareback without a condom aside from pregnancy? Come on, you're out of your freaking mind. And I'm
but the
telling
bottom
you,
line is, a biological father cannot get out of that unless the oncoming, I guess if she marries, and then, because if not, the state is not going to pay for that child. They're going to go after the biological.
Well, that's how they look at it. That's how the courts look at it. The courts literally say, if we don't stick it to the father, whoever he is, then it's going to end up being, you know, the state's problem, the taxpayer's problem, and that's the last thing they want. So,
correct.
I mean, I was in court the other day. This will show you. It's the child support court in Los Angeles. And this guy who was disabled and he hadn't worked in years, he was all screwed up. And the judge is just reading the paperwork. He owes $162,000 in child support. The interest alone is like $600 or $700 a month. They've taken away his driver's license, his passport, everything from this guy. And the kids are actually all grown up. They're all adults. They're in college and whatnot. So here the guy owes more money than he's ever going to be able to pay. He's never going to get out from under. And he's just sitting there saying to the judge, what the hell am I going to do? His whole entire life is destroyed. And so, you know, when you do this thing where you let the woman get pregnant by not being careful and not planning or trusting her that she's telling you she's on the pill or whatever, you're giving up your power. You're handing it over to her and you're trusting her and you're putting the gun in your mouth and you're saying to her, please, please don't pull the trigger. So it's not very wise.
All right. Thanks for that. Adam,
thank you, too.
All right, Thomas. Thank you. Appreciate
that's a killer,
the call.
Huh, Tom?
Oh, my God.
What is it going to take, guys, to figure this out, Tom? Please.
I'll be here every week for the rest of my life.
All right, well.
And maybe beyond.
Fight the good fight, Tom.
All right, Adam. Tell everybody once again how they can get in touch with you.
Call me at 1-800-340-7320. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There you go. Now, by the way, if you missed any part of this hour, maybe you were listening to us on demand or listening to the podcast of this, all you have to do is tune in again next Tuesday, because Adam is here for a bonus hour. The next Adam Sachs appearance will be Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Just not very smart people.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's
better believe that.
Beer Magazine. New research shows that rich women like rich men, but rich dudes like good-looking broads.
Of course. I can't believe there's a study done for this. Oh, man. You gotta be kidding
apparently
me.
Apparently, rich guys don't care how much money you got. As you better be hot.
That's it. You better be hot. You better be hot.
Baby.
Baby. You better be hot, baby. There you go.
You better be hot, baby. Yes. Men with higher incomes showed stronger preferences for women with slender bodies. Love the word slender. Are we still using that, slender?
I mean, that's probably a nice politically correct way of saying it.
Hot.
They can't even say hot. That's unbelievable. No saying hot. That's demeaning.
Women felt slender. It more important that their partner made at least as much money as they did and had a successful career.
Hmm.
Well, men flavored the old slender body, 80% versus
50%. Hot. Wait, let's just replace. Hot.
Slender.
Slender. Slender man. That
Slender man. Yes.
The dude Bobby sees and stuff. The slender man.
Yep.
He good. He good.
2/3 of women in Singapore will not date a bald dude.
How you
going? 2/3. Two-thirds.
By the way, it doesn't apply to him.
G'day, Tom. How are you going?
Because he's nailed every hot girl in...
International.
He has nailed every hot girl in Singapore. Guarantee.
Yes.
So, again, let's just take him out of the equation. He skews the results, so that's out.
Yeah. Local dating app surveyed nearly 3,000 users.
That's a lot. It's
ages,
a good sample
ages
size.
Ages 18 to 50.
Equal parts men and women for this survey.
Female users snub the balding partners.
By the way, the highest turnoffs for male users were listed as materialism, basically, a.k.a. gold diggerism.
I got smelly jeans at the top of the list. I don't know.
By the way, this is the best one. Most guys said they were cool with dating a girl who made more money. No kidding. I'm going to sign up for that.
Hey.
I've been targeting Oprah. I don't care.
Yep.
I don't care.
I know.
Call me Gail King.
You get into Oprah's cottage cheese. You're going
no problem.
You're going to regret that.
Nope. It's amazing what if you put a little preparation H or whatever coroners put under their nose, I could care less. Then you smell nothing.
I don't know.
That's horrible.
Oh,
you might
be
take
quiet.
Some of that newfound money and buy some scuba gear.
No problem. I'll have plenty. Plenty.
Hey, John Jones has pled guilty to one count of leaving the scene of an accident.
Yeah, this was a really weird thing that happened. Our friend, I guess, split from an accident, and it's hard to when you're kind of famous. It was a mistake.
Yeah, not a good thing. I mean, if you're Ira Festel level famous, that's,
yes,
that's different.
That's different.
By the way, speaking of the MMA, I know a lot of people have sent this story. Please stop sending it. It's about the chick that says that she had to move up a weight level because of the size of her tits. And there are different reports that say they're either double D's or F's. Her name is Brianne Rossillo.
Uh-oh.
Brianne Rossillo. She's out of New York, Nassau County on the island there. She got big old cans.
She does.
She's a little girl with big old cans. Apparently, she had to move up a weight class. She said, the quote is, "It's not like I can take a nail file and hack my tits off."
That is true. She cannot do that.
She cannot.
She cannot do that.
No.
And you're right. Don't send that. No more.
And speaking of the tits that Katie Price says, she's having sex six times a day. Six times a day to get pregnant.
Wow. By the way, our girl is awesome, but she had one son that might be a little off with some dude, soccer player or something. Things went awry, but she keeps,
yeah.
You know.
Jesus Christ, she's crazy, though.
Yeah. God, she's so hot, though. It's like you're just willing to look the other way.
Totally. I have no problem.
And I think, by the way, the family picture shows Katie Price with her chair rest,
yes.
And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
And finally, Frances Bean Cobain, involved in a secret marriage. Some dude named Isaiah Silva, he is in a band called the Eries, and he looks eerily like Mr. Cobain himself.
Dead ringer. I mean, come on. No. He's a cross between Jared Leto. If Jared Leto and Kurt Cobain had an ass baby, that's your friend. Done.
I'm going to go on that. There's plenty more newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary Zeno.
You better be hot, baby.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. Brand new show every single Friday. Just go to GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
If Jared Leto and Kurt Cobain had an ass baby, that's your friend. Done.
I'm going to go on that.